We turn in our Bibles to Job chapter 29. We're taking a little departure, and as this being the last service of the year, to bring some reflections on your own life, even as Job did as he looked back. And we will read verses 1 through 17. We cannot do a detailed exposition, but Lord willing, we'll cover all the main points. Job chapter 29, beginning at verse 1. Together, Job further continued his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream, and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square. The young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw, then it approved me. Because I deliver the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth." May God bless his words to our hearts today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you lost everything you had, what would you wish you could keep the most? Job lost everything in life. His animals were gone. His servants were gone. His children were dead. His position in society stripped. His wealth was reduced to nothing. There was hardly a greater personal fall in history. But today you will see what things Job treasured the most and why he treasured them the most as he looked back. Our headings are Job and his faith, Job and his family, and Job and his friends. Our goals are that as blood-bought children of Jesus Christ, because you belong to him, you will consider the things that truly matter to him as you reflect in your life, and then put your mind and abilities and money to pursue those things that truly matter to your ransomer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk then first about Job and his faith. Look at what he reflected upon in his own life. Job reflected back on his life and expressed the desire to have the good things that he had in the past. "Oh, that I were as in months past." God promised, Job himself was a good man. He had good grounds for wanting the good things of the past, of his past. God called him good directly. Look at Job chapter 1 verse 8 for example, together. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" God calls Job a blameless and upright man, a godly man. And a godly man can expect blessings from God. God said so. In fact, the Bible says, even in all his troubles, Job never abandoned God. Now, what specific things did Job desire? Did Job first say, Lord, I wish I had my iPhone 5S or a new Toyota Camry with a nice color? Oh, I wish I had that house I had before. No, the first thing Job mentioned is that he wanted to be close to God. As he reflected in his life, he said, oh, I want that. That's what I miss the most. Job particularly, as you follow your notes, wanted to feel God's protection over his temporary things and his spiritual things. He understood what the psalmist was speaking of in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's protection over Job was fundamental to his life. But not just God's protection. It's easy to want to be safe, but we have to live. So second, Job wanted God's light to shine upon him, to guide him through the darkness of the world in which he was living. He knew that God's word was a lamp and a light, as the psalmist says. Look at Psalm 25, verse 14 together. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord he reveals. He guides his people by his word. See, Job desired to bear fruit for God again. How do we see that in the text? You notice he says in verse 4, just as I was in the days of my prime. Prime there means ripe and ready. It's a picture of a fruit tree that has its fruits ready to be eaten. So he wants to be a blessing to other people and bring honor to God. You see, his faith in God resulted in blessings. Everyone who has faith will show the fruits of that faith. James says, you've got faith, show me by your works. And he desires to bear those fruits out to honor God. D, Job wanted God to be near him. He wanted God to be his neighbor. You notice how he concludes in verse 4, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent. There's a historical account that said Job had a church that met in his house. He wanted to be close to God. He wanted to be close to God's people. He understood covenant blessings and covenant community, and we'll talk some about this, Lord willing, on New Year's Day. It is obvious that Job's troubles made him feel far from God. He felt lonely, he felt afflicted. But was God really far from him? The answer is a resounding no. Job was elected by God. Election is forever. When God elects and adopts, he never abandons his children. The covenant is unchangeable. God is never far from his children. In fact, look at how he reminded his people in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Together, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Here's the problem for Job and why he desired these things. Not just that it will please God, but Job is thinking, Job knew that in his present state, he could not minister to his family. They were dead. They were gone. He's estranged from them. He couldn't help his friends. He had no wealth anymore to do so. He had no position at the city gate. And even his close friends thought that Job was estranged from God because of Job's sin, that God was judging him. And even with these troubles, look at the desire of Job. He could have wished and said, God, please give me back my camels and my donkeys. Lord, give me back all the houses I had. Lord, give me back my children. His first desire was a wish to be near to God, to have a strong faith in God. He wanted the light of God's grace to shine on him. And this is what gave meaning to his life. This is what made him walk with joy and comfort. And when he wasn't feeling it, it was there, but he wasn't feeling it. And as a result, he longed for being close to God. Let me ask you this. Do you desire above all else in this world that God's light shines on you and guides you? Is that the greatest thing you desire? You know, most people, when you think about the things of this world, it's, I've got to get my degree done. I've got to buy a new house. I've got to be able to finish my schoolwork, whatever it is. That pushes us. That becomes an overwhelming thing. And when you go to bed at night, you're thinking, well, how much money do I have saved up? Can I buy that? That can take over your mind. And here's what Job is saying as he looks back. And this is what you can do as you reflect back on 2013. Lord, have I really desired to be close to you? Maybe not. Lord, help me to be closer to you. Help my faith to be stronger in 2014. Lord, let your light shine upon me above all else. Yes, it's okay to save up for the car. Yes, it's okay to get your degree done. Yes, it's okay to buy a better house. But above all else, the number one thing is to watch. Are you living close to God? Do you have faith in God? And does His Word guide you in your life? This is what we pray for in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 25. Together, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's the benediction. That's one of the reasons you gather in church, not only to hear His Word, to receive God's blessing, so that you're close to Him and He guides you. And it's sad, isn't it? But sometimes people don't want to be in church often. They don't receive the blessings of God. But that's how it should be. Let's move to Job's family. When the Almighty was with me, Job said, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream, and the rocks poured out rivers of oil for me. Job desired to have his family together. After his faith, naturally, biblically, comes the family. He wanted his family to be with him. And not just as we like to do at Advent or Thanksgiving. He wanted his family to be close. He wanted for them to serve the Lord together. His children were grown, but he wanted to maintain that unity of faith. He knew the importance of continuing that godly line, and he invested time in it. Job wasn't interested in personal joys from wealth. He did not long to become famous. He did not care if his children were rich or famous. He wanted to be around his children. He wanted to be with his wife and children around the table, maybe with his grandchildren. This is what mattered in his life. He wanted to make sure that they were following God's way and working to establish His kingdom on earth. But you say, what is he talking about? He wants to be bathed in cream or butter and oil. Wasn't that the desire for wealth? You notice, the answer is no. And you notice this. He doesn't ask for silver and gold. Why butter and oil, or cream and oil? It really means very thick milk or very thick cream. This was not a lust for food. This was, the unique thing about butter and oil is that they both go bad. They don't last a long time. It means you've got to use them. And it's on purpose, I believe, that he used this. Instead of saying, gold that I can put away in a bank and wait for hard times. He wanted to have things he could use for the blessing of others. Now! For his family, and as you see, how he cared for the poor later, that he desired these things. But this text doesn't directly say that he was that interested in his family, just wanted to be around them. Does the Bible really support this? Yes, look at Job 1. He prayed for them just in case they sinned. What a caring father this was. Look at Job chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Together, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of the feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now, imagine how tough it is for some people to take out sometimes a $20 from their wallet to give to the to anyone, even their children. But look at what Job understood here. He understood the need for his children to be close to God. And he made a burnt offering. The burnt offering is where the whole thing was consumed. Nobody ate anything from it. And for every one of his children, he would offer an animal. You can imagine, he wasn't offering turtle doves as a rich man. How much this cost him. And he did this not because he knew they had sinned, but he did this in case they sinned. So much this man hated sin in his family. So much he loved his family. That's what he longed for. That's what took over his mind. First his faith in God, and then he said, "My family, my family, my family." What was the most important or most common thing you hear at many Christian funerals today? You often hear, when a man dies, he was a good provider. The question is this: what did he provide? Children need a whole lot more than bacon and beans. And that's what Job was talking about here. He wanted to be a provider of things that were good. Look at how it's described for us in Psalm 128, verse 3. Together, "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table." This was not saying that your wife was pulling in a six-figure salary. Far from it. This was saying that your wife was showing the fruits of righteousness, and your children were showing that they were understanding the love of Jesus Christ, and that their lives were reflecting righteousness of Jesus Christ as well. The psalmist wasn't saying that you should have as many children as you like, but that the children that you do have should be godly. He wanted a fully reformed home. So if you can't say this like Job, that you want to be truly close to family, you have to go home and start working to be that blessing to your family. You have to be close to your family. You have to be kinder to your wife. You have to work harder with and for your children. You have to put more emphasis than simply being a good provider, someone who gives them enough money to buy food and clothing, considering the things that truly matter in life. You see, your wife and your children belong to God. And you belong to Him. Jesus ransomed you, and therefore you are to respond in a way He says concerning your wife or your children. He tells you what your priorities are, and Job has them right. It starts with your faith in God, and that faith is translated in, first of all, in the way you care for your family. That's what God expects. You take time to pray for your children. Pray for your wife, pray for your husband. You encourage them in their Christian faith. Encourage each other. You listen to their troubles so you can give good advice. By the way, this means you must know the scriptures. If you're going to give people advice, you better know the scriptures yourself. But that's what Job wanted. He wanted his family to be close to God. Let's come to the third point then. Job and his friends, from verses 7. Verse 7 says, "When I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me. When the eye saw, then it approved of me." Job desired here for what was in the past. And what was there? He had an opportunity to serve any of his friends. He didn't say, well, these are the ones I like, or those I don't like so much, I'm not going to help them. Anyone who came to him seeking justice found it. He used and shared God's wisdom in the city gates. What a true public servant. Matthew Henry wrote that we are not born for ourselves. We are born for the public. You know what it's like when you try to go in a government office. You call and you're talking, ask a question, and they say, sorry, wrong place. Here's the number you need to call. And then you'll call there and they'll say, oh no, please call back the other place that you just called. No, it's their responsibility. And you know the runaround you get. Some public service. Here's Job. He's telling us he did it so well. Look at the response. Look at the way he served his country. Job's judgments were so sound that the old and the young and the important listened and accepted. How many people can listen to the advice of our civil government today? Some of it is so horribly wrong. Think of the advice they give their your children. If your parents spank you, call us and we will come take you away. Some public service. Don't worry, if you kill someone, we will take care of you and take you whale watching and take you to the mall and give you free education and nice gym and internet and cable TV. Some service. Not Job. His judgment was so good that people realize this man is a blessing from God. You know how hard it is to gain the approval of both rich and poor at the same time? You know how hard it is to gain the approval of young people and old people? Old people will say, oh no, he's too slack. And the young people say, he's not slack enough. He needs to loosen up a little bit. And the rich always have their ideas. And the poor often think it's the rich have exploited us. He did it so everyone, his judgment was so fair that no one could point a finger at him. All the whining stopped. It's like a crying baby that the mother holds and starts to nurse. Guess what? You rarely find a baby trying to cry when he's being nursed. Or like a bee would be buzzing around until he goes and he gets that flower and he knows there's nectar in there, and then the noise stops because he's being nourished. And so with these people, their mouths are stopped because of the faithfulness of Job. You've probably heard of a reality show called Duck Dynasty, where one of the show's personality, got into trouble because he spoke the truth about God's word, from God's word concerning adultery, and condemned all forms of adultery. The biggest condemnation the man got was that he should not pronounce judgment on other people. Even Christians attacked him. And I thought, how awful, how ignorant of these Christians. Christians are to judge. You have to make judgment. If you don't point people's sin out, how would they know they need a Savior? Now, of course, along with pointing people's sin out, you have to remind them that Christ took the condemnation of the world, and if they trust in Him, they could be set free from that condemnation. But it's amazing that we think everyone should be, every kind of behavior is acceptable. And even Christians have fallen for that sin of indifference and accepting sinful situations as normal. Look at the response then of the people, Job and his friends. As a result of Job's sound judgment, the people blessed him, honored him, they approved of him. You're taking this a whole step further. Can you imagine there's a politician that you think, oh, what a blessing it is to have this man as our premier or our prime minister? Most of the times you think, maybe it's not so bad. Or that's the best you can do. It's not as bad as it could be. It's rare to find such a person. And yet, that's what the people said of Job. They thought, what a good man, what a godly man. Lord, bless this man for the good work that he is doing. And that's what Job was desiring. When he's looking back at his life, he's saying, Lord, help me that I can be a blessing to other people, that I can work for other people, that I can make sound judgments. You notice the difference. I was traveling today to Bowmanville, and I heard on the radio a man going on about how much money you need for retirement. And he's saying you need to have at least $800,000 in the bank and so on, and so you could retire in peace. Here's this man. He's got everything he's got, and he doesn't stop working. And he's saying, Lord, give me back the work that I had before. Give me back that work. There's no retirement for the Christian. We'll retire in heaven. We'll wait for that. That's what God calls. So the people blessed him. Look at the details in verse 12. Because I deliver the poor who cried out, the fatherless, the one who had no helper, the blessing of the perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job desired to see the widow, the orphan, the foreigner get justice, to serve them. Job righted, as one theologian said, he righted those who were wronged, righted those who were slighted. Job helped to provide food and care for the needs of the fatherless. No wonder he's saying, Lord, where's that cream? Where's that oil? There are all of these poor people around me. How can I help them? And he's saying, Lord, that's what I want to do. Give me back that work, Lord. The dying, the widows, the blind, and the lame. And even when they were about to die, they praised him. It's normal when you're dying, you're thinking, oh, my mother did this, my father did this. When they were dying, they were saying, thank you, Job, for what you did. Job helped to secure justice for the oppressed and the abused. He did not let the rich abuse the poor. He did not condone the poor robbing the rich. Surely this work brought him much fulfillment. He did what his Lord had called him to do. Look at how Isaiah describes what the Lord calls us to do today. Verse 3 of chapter 35, 3 and 4. Together, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Encourage the people. Encourage your friends. Let them know that there is hope with God. Encourage them in their physical things. Encourage them in their spiritual things. Let me ask you then, or look at another verse. In fact, if you look at the bottom of your page, Psalm 72, verse 12. Let's read that one together. You can find it together. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. Why was Job doing this? He was doing what his Lord did. This is what Jesus did. That's what Solomon said the Lord Jesus Christ would do. He would deliver the needy when he cries, the poor and the helper. Not just physically, but those who are spiritually so. Job was simply imitating what he knew God did for his people. So what will young people say when they look back at your life? In an effort to help you to desire the things of the past and what it should be like, what will young people say when they look at your life? Maybe young people in this church or some other church. Will they say that you complain about everything? Will they say you're always reluctant to be involved in outreach activities or maybe church activities? They complain about how much you pay the pastor. Or that you have a roast pastor for supper every Sunday. Or that you refuse to be involved in the affairs of the country. That you think, I don't need to be bothered. There are some churches I know where from May to September, you don't find people in church anymore. They're in their RV touring the country. They don't work. They're not involved in the life of the church anymore. So what happens to the widow and the orphan and the foreigner? What happens to the needy, the ones who are discouraged and struggling? They're left because I've got to have my months off to do my wanderings. Is that what people will say about you? Will people say that you couldn't be bothered to speak up for the 110,000 children that are murdered every year in Canada? Or you just think, well, that's their business. If they want to kill each other, I'm leaving them alone. Or will young people say, boy, he's a complainer. From the time the electricity went off Saturday night, he never stopped complaining until it came back on. Is that what they will hear from you? Or some other new thing to complain about next week? Is that what people remember? Or will they remember like Job? May it be that people, when young people remember you at the end of your life, they will always say, he always gave me good advice. He always had time to talk. He was never too busy to listen to me. He encouraged me when I was struggling in my faith. He rebuked me when I did something wrong. He didn't just say, well, let it go. I don't want to get involved. That's how you are to live, as part of the covenant community of God's people. That you care enough for the people of God. You see someone of your, some of the members' child doing something wrong. You don't say, well, that's too bad. But you talk to the parents, you talk to the child about it, so that they will walk in God's ways. But here's the key. I talked about Job's faith in God, how he loved his family, wanted to be around his family, and how he helped his friends. But it's this that really makes this all come together. Why did Job do this? What was in it for him? Nothing. Blessing from God, of course, but intrinsically it was because it's what was in him. Not what was in it for him. What was in him? It was the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he knew. He knew he had served a great God. He knew that he had been redeemed, and therefore he was willing to work for his family and for his friends. The righteousness he had was not from the Lord. Not from himself, but from the Lord. He followed God's righteous system. This was the beautiful clothing that you see in the Old Testament, where the priests would have these almost regal clothes with the beautiful stones written, implanted on the chest, with all the tassels and beautiful colors. It was a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look how this is described for us in Psalm 45, verses 13 and 14. Together, the royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. The bride of Christ is blessed with the covering or the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11 verse 5, together. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. When you are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and only when you're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, will you be able to put your family and your friends above yourself. Let's conclude. Job's faith was precious to him. He longed to be close to God and wanted God to be the guide of his home. Job's family was dear to him. He wanted to be around his family, to be a blessing to them, and help fulfill the creation mandate and spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Job loved his friends through Jesus Christ, and he labored for them and pursued justice for them. He gave food and clothing to them. He did not allow them to be abused, and his friends praised him for it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as a child of God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, reflect on your actions this past year regarding your faith, your family, and your friends, and see how well you have done. Where you have been successful, where you have put your family first, praise God for it. Continue doing it. But where you have failed, where you have strayed from your faith, your responsibility, or where you've ignored your family, or where you've been indifferent to your friends' needs, and repent. Ask God for the grace to be selfless and caring about your moral duties, and pursue them with diligence. And remember, when your faith is strong, and only when your faith is strong, it is easier to fulfill your duties to your family and friends. Pursue faith. Finally, I know around this time of the year, many people make promises to be good. They make those New Year's resolutions. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to start doing this. But if you're not a Christian, it is a useless promise. Sounds mean, but it is a useless promise. It is useless because your good acts are no good before God. God only accepts the goodness of Jesus Christ, His obedience for you and His death for you. That's what you need to go to God and offer. And when you do so, and you say, Lord, here, take the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf, and I receive that into my own heart, then you will be able to begin to be good in your own life. But it starts with restoring your relationship with God, which is only done through Jesus Christ. Let us pray.